The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Listen to your favorite radio station, the Buzz iPhone app, or online at 1037thebuzz.com.
Stand at this yellow-haired girl, Mr. Jones.
Welcome back to Jones Brothers. Mr. Jones, I see you working there. Good job. Jones Brothers Pool Tables, Matt. All the songs you can find with Jones.
It's probably going to be a little limited.
All right, you know what? I want a can-do attitude, Matt.
I mean, I'm gonna keep them coming, man.
Dial it up. You can use any songs that have Jones Brothers. You know what we need to have? What's the Jim Croce song about you don't mess around with Jim or Slim or whatever it is? I guess it's Jim and then it's Slim at the end.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Shot in a couple places, stabbed in a couple places, shot in a couple more. We don't approve of that here at Jones Brothers Pool Tables, but they do have everything for your man, woman, or child cave. Let's go to the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. We'll talk more about what's happening here in just a moment, but let's talk some college football with Barrett Salia, Bleacher Report. Barrett, how are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Barrett, you strike me as the kind of guy who's been in a pool hall fight or two.
If I have, I've lost them. I can guarantee you that. I'm not much of a fighter. I talk a big game, but when rubber meets the road, I cower.
Yes, well, let me tell you something. I've talked myself into a fight, and I've talked myself right back out of it many, many times over. Let me buy you a beer. We'll call it even. It's all good. Sorry about that, buddy. I thought you were someone else. My mistake.
Yeah. It's all my fault.
Yes, totally my fault. No, please don't punch me. No, that won't be necessary. Don't break that pool cue over my head. But if you do, you can get a nice new one at Jones Brothers. So, SEC championship game is coming up this weekend. A very interesting scenario here. Missouri and Auburn. I guess we should go chronologically, though, back to the Iron Bowl. And you were in attendance. Did I see that on Twitter?
I was there. I was in the press box, and I was on the field. They let you down for the last 5 minutes of the game, and I was on the field when one of the, I guess, most talked about plays, I guess, in sports history took place. It was kind of neat to have a front row seat for something that's going to be on TV every day for the next, 30 years.
Yeah, there's no question. I turned to my son, and it's the only game I think we watched together because we were down to one TV for, it's a long story, but anyway. And I said, son, 50 years from now, they'll still be talking about this game. And so we kind of got sort of bought into it at that point. I mean, it's like the Flutie play. Been watching the Flutie play since I was 10 years old.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. That's what a lot of people are putting out, top 10 lists of the best plays in college football history. I mean, it's up there. I mean, Stanford Cal's up there, Flutie's up there, Auburn Ricardo Lewis played from 2 weeks ago is up there. I mean, it's going to be talked about. In my mind, for that to happen the way it did, it was the most shocking, surprising ending I've ever seen. The thing was, you can talk, Stanford and Cal, and you have to get to have five guys make five great plays for that to happen. You had to have 11 guys make that play happen, and they did it. Auburn did it. I mean, it was unbelievable.
So I'm assuming you were standing around some other journalists at the time. Did anybody bring up the possibility that would be, could happen? Did anybody talk about that before the play?
Absolutely, yes. I did. I was in the end zone, kind of even with the numbers. And so when Chris Davis caught it, he kind of ran right in front of me and then directly away from me down the sideline. So when the first play was the first hand, and then Ryan Smith went back, and then they called timeout. And then the next time Chris Davis came back, and I leaned to Justin Hokins, who's of the Auburn rival side, and he had a video of it. And I said, they're going to return this, because you looked at who they had out there, who Auburn had out there, and there was a bunch of defensive backs and a couple linebackers. And so they weren't even trying to block it. If you watch the replay, a couple of their guys, they just kind of really just sort of hop off the ground, barely, not really, and sort of run out and sort of set up a wall. And then when it starts to come back down, they're already setting up the wall. I mean, they had that completely planned. So I said it, right? We both said it, me and Justin, and the ref of that, we said, look, they're setting this up. Chris Davis, has the speed to do it, and sure enough, they did it. It was one of those things, you look on TV, and you watch that play happen, and I watch the replay, and it looks like the field goal is going to be good for a while. Had no chance. From the moment he kicked it, every one of us down there were like, no way, not a chance, and immediately they were setting it up. It was a well-coached play, and it worked out to perfection for Auburn.
It is amazing how it looked like Alabama had caught an unbelievable break by Yeldon getting out of bounds with 1 second left, and in hindsight, it turned out to cost him a chance to get to overtime.
And Nick Saban, look, I think a lot of people are going to credit or criticize Nick Saban for that call and to kick it, but, you know, I think in his mind, and really, you know, with a guy that can kick it, you know, a mile and a half, you don't think he's going to come up short. You think he may miss it left or right, but either way, it's going to get through the end zone, and you're not going to have to deal with that play. I don't think it occurred to him that he was going to miss it short. And so, you know, it is sort of odd that, you know, Saban lobbied for that 1 second. Got it, turned out to be the worst second of his life. I think it was a 50-50 decision to kick it or toss the Hail Mary. I think he made the right decision because I saw that Peter Griffith in high school. That guy's got a leg. He can make that kick. I don't know why he was short, but he can make that kick. It was amazing. It was chaotic. It was crazy. I mean, it was one of the strangest events of my life. There's no doubt about that.
Was there any point where you became a little bit less impartial than normal and started cheering and getting excited? Because, I mean, it was, you could tell about halfway through it was going to be a special moment that was going to, you know, be meaningful for a long time.
I didn't really, until I sort of got in the press room, and everybody in the press room, whether it be local, national, Alabama, Auburn, whatever, reporters were just laughing, like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I think at that point, everyone sort of realizes, I don't care who you are, what school you went to, whatever, you just saw one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. And I think, you know, that's one of the things in this job where you're like, you know, you have to sort of sit back and say, that's pretty freaking awesome. Like, it really was awesome. I was, honestly, at that point, though, I was really just excited to get off that field because I felt like I'd had a game today. I mean, I got hit so many places. I got hit checked by an Auburn offensive lineman. I got knees in the head. I mean, it was a chaotic scene, but it was kind of cool to sit there and sort everyone around you going, oh, my God, the whole enormous situation sort of hits you when everybody in your profession is doing the exact same thing you are.
Yeah, well, that's very cool to talk to somebody who's actually on the field. Very neat. Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. We're all a little bit victim to the moment, and part of that is, of course, putting that play in the context as maybe the best play ever. It probably belongs there. We're actually going to go through a list here in just a few minutes of the best plays and the best finishes in college football history. But what isn't probably fair is to say, oh, Auburn's now a team of destiny. They're going to win the SEC championship. They're going to be the national title game if things fall right. Maybe they'll jump Ohio State, but not so fast. About 24 hours later, everybody started kind of coming back to their senses and getting over the high of that final play and going, Missouri's really good. I think Missouri might win that game. In fact, I think Missouri is going to win that game. That's where I am right now.
I think Auburn's going to win it, but I think it's going to be close. I mean, there's a good football team. I buy into the destiny thing to a point, because, you know, it does take some freakish things to happen for Auburn to be in the position they've been in the last few weeks, the last few games, to win those games. But to their credit, they've got themselves in those positions. I mean, I think, you know, it's not a fluke that Auburn ran for 296 yards against Alabama. I mean, that's just dominating, especially considering Alabama knew what was coming. I think the matchups in this game against Missouri, but for both teams, they're really interesting. You know, Missouri can exploit Auburn's secondary. I think, you know, those wide receivers can exploit any secondary. The problem is, you know, Auburn's defensive line really took control of that game against Alabama. You know, if they take control of this game against Missouri, I don't think James Franklin's going to have the opportunity to exploit that mismatch. But if he does, then Missouri can absolutely win the football game. The thing with this game is I kind of wonder how impactful Missouri's best player is going to be, Michael Pham, because a lot of times Auburn just lets the defensive end through anyway and runs that read option off of them. So, in my opinion, you know, his impact is going to be negated a little bit. So I don't know how much that's going to impact the game overall, but I think Auburn certainly knows that, you know, he's coming and what to do with him and Nick Marshall. You know, say what you will about Auburn being one-dimensional, but they're multi-dimensional in the running game, and Nick Marshall will make the fantastic decisions in that running game all year long. So it's a riveting game because there are matchups that could go both ways, and I think, you know, one of them is going to decide what, you know, how this game turns out. And ultimately, I think Auburn gets a job done just because they can run the ball effectively against anybody. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Missouri, you know, catches a few breaks and hits those receivers and gets the win.
Alabama. Yeah, I mean, we all sit around here, and I thought, you know, Alabama probably thought the same thing, although we were talking to somebody yesterday that said they don't have enough faith in their corners to really sell out on the run. Do you think Missouri might be a little more effective in selling out and making Nick Marshall beat them?
Yeah, they can be. The problem is Nick Marshall can beat them. You know, that's the problem. You know, it's Auburn's offense is no secret. I mean, everybody knows what they're doing. The problem is they executed so well, and you know, you get sort of lulled to sleep defensively, you know, because you just have to keep continually, you know, defending the same thing over and over again, and it's always working, and it's always working, and it's always working, and then you have to take some chances, and Alabama didn't. That's what cost them the lead. You know, that's what cost them the lead in that, on that touchdown pass to Andy Coates. So they have the personnel to do it. The problem is I don't know if anybody can do it consistently, because it is, it has to be frustrating if you're a defensive back, if you're a safety, having to constantly come up and do the same thing over and over again. You, human nature is to take a risk. I mean, you have to at that point.
That's true. Barrett's leave, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. There was also people, again, getting caught up in the moment. If Auburn beats Missouri in the title game, they should be in the national championship game ahead of a one-loss Ohio State team. Then everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Ohio State even has a little better schedule than Florida State does. And when you look through the numbers, there are a couple things about scheduling that jumped out at me today. Florida State, 66, toughest schedule. Ohio State, 61. And Auburn at 26. And Missouri at 41. So before we start saying, oh, you know, they play in the SEC, they play a top 10 schedule. That's not exactly the case in this case. But I think most people have come around to the fact that it's going to take an Ohio State or Florida State loss for an SEC team to get in.
Yeah, I agree. I should. That's exactly how it should go down, because, you know, you can top the schedule and top 25 wins and all that stuff all day long. All of those together equal wins and losses, in my opinion, in this discussion. And then Ohio State doesn't have any losses. So I agree. I think, you know, if there is a slight chance for a one-loss team to jump, it would be Ohio State, because they haven't really necessarily looked great in a lot of their games. And the only team that would, in my mind, be able to do it is Auburn, because they have a win over Alabama on their resume. So, you know, if Auburn goes out there and just boat races Missouri and Ohio State, you know, beats Michigan State on some fluky thing or some, you know, just garbage in the process, even maybe Auburn gets in over Ohio State, but even then, I would say it's a long shot, and it should be a long shot, because Ohio State has already throughout the year, winning consistently with that pressure on you is not something that's easy to do. So, you know, I said this before. I said treat the Iron Bowl like a quarterfinal and treat the SEC championship game like a semifinal, because I believe that's what they are, because I believe Michigan State is going to beat Ohio State anyway, and this conversation is going to be moot on Saturday night.
Well, it would be in that case, of course. I don't know. I've gone back and forth on that one, but what makes you so sure of that?
Pat Narduzzi should win the World Award. Yeah. I mean, that defense is insane. The Michigan State defense is the best defense that Ohio State has seen this year by far. It's not even close. So, you know, sure, they can't really move the ball, but Ohio State's defense is terrible. So you think they move the ball a little bit. And honestly, with what Michigan State struck out there, they may score 10 points on defense themselves. I mean, they're that good. Michigan State, you know, I think people are sort of coming around to how good they are now. They've been like that all year. That's a really good football game.
One last note here on the scheduling thing. Auburn's faced 10 bowl-eligible teams, Missouri 8. And after the Ohio State-Michigan State game, it'll be 7 for Ohio State. So when people say, well, they haven't played anybody. Well, there are a couple. I don't think there's any great teams on their schedule. But there are a handful of solid teams that they have played. And like you said, at the end of the day, they've gone undefeated, and that's an achievement in any conference. Another thing that jumped off, I was looking at the Sagan rankings as I was kind of getting ready for today. I don't know if you realize this. The top 7 teams on strength of schedule all come from one conference. Pac-12. Georgia's number 8.
That doesn't surprise me either. Pac-12 is a good conference. They really are. Arizona State just have only 2 losses. Arizona State is an awesome team. I mean, yeah. The Pac-12 is pretty deep. Now, I wouldn't say there's any elite teams in the Pac-12 this year. You know, Oregon kind of tanked, and Stanford, you know, whatever. Stanford should monotonous. But, you know, it's a really good, and, you know, the top end is relatively deep. I would say probably deeper than the SEC this year, although that's certainly a good base.
That's the whole point. Yeah, I mean, think of it, they're all pretty good. I mean, that's the whole point of that conference. I mean, most everybody in that conference is back in the – Oregon State's pretty good. I mean, USC got back in the top 25 after the Kiffin debacle. Even Washington State is competitive. They played better the second half of the season, and they played Auburn in the first game of the year within a touchdown. I will give them credit. They do go outside, and they do try to find some good non-conference games, unlike Florida State. Ohio State. I mean, and most of the SEC schools are guilty of it, too. These guys at least go out and find those games. I mean, so you look at Arizona State in that kind of strange, fluky, hashtag karma, Wisconsin game earlier in the season. And then you get the Washington State-Auburn game. I mean, there are other examples, but I do give them credit. They do step out of conference and try to find some decent opponents.
Well, how come you can say hashtag karma and not get killed for it? I said that Friday and just got absolutely lit up like a Christmas tree on Twitter. I mean,
because I say it tongue in cheek and I say it on the radio show, not on Twitter, because it doesn't stay there. When you write it, it's much more lasting.
But you didn't even mention Kadeem Carey in Arizona. I mean, that's a good team too.
That's true. Good point. Yeah, no, it's a very good solid conference, and if you know, I know a lot of folks around here will say, well, you know, hey, look, you want to play UCLA and Oregon and Stanford and Oregon State and I mean USD right now. I mean, any of those teams right now could beat your team on a given day.
On that, I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good conference this year for sure. Speaking of the number one team, we mentioned Florida State in passing. The Jameis Winston thing shakes out today. Everybody is of the opinion that he will not be charged in the incident dating back to December. Are you in that camp?
Apparently they canceled a news conference with his lawyer and Jameis, and now it's just going to be his lawyer this afternoon. So, you know, I guess there's if he was going to be charged with rape, they'd arrest him. I mean, they're not going to announce a press conference 24 hours in advance. I mean, they'd get a suspected rapist off the street. I would imagine he is not going to be charged. I'm interested to see what happens with the documents that come forward and explain really how this new investigation, the state's attorney's investigation, went. Because, at this point, I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to be charged. But, you know, again, there's still a little bit of doubt, but I doubt that's going to happen.
If you had to pick a team to play FSU in the championship game, because we're all assuming they'll be Duke this week, with all due respect to David Cutcliffe and the great year they've had, which team do you think has the best chance? Which team provides the best matchup to knock off FSU?
Of ones that have realistic shots or ones that don't?
You could throw Alabama in there because obviously it would be a long shot for them to get in there. But I mean, anybody.
Yeah, but if Alabama gets in, that means Florida State won't be getting in because they lost Duke. Mm-hmm. So I would say of all the teams that have a shot to beat Florida State, I would say probably it would be the SEC champ. Auburn, Missouri. I put them in a hat. I'd say Auburn just because you know what Auburn's going to do, and no one's been able to stop it yet. You know, it's not like it's a trick. It's pretty clear what they're going to do, and it's just. It's really hard to defend.
It is annoying. They're playing against it. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about that game. I'm fired up about it. So.
It's going to be a riveting game. It really is.
And Winston, your Heisman guy, or you got somebody else?
Yeah, you know, unless he gets the rest of the day, I think it's Winston to lose. I think today will seal the deal. If he does not get arrested, then he's going to win the Heisman. I think there's no doubt.
Very good. Nerd, appreciate the time. Glad you survived the Iron Bowl, and great to get your perspective on it. That's very cool, man. That'd be-